We have some mother sisters.
That's right.
We have some mother aunts. We have some stepmothers that took responsibility and cared and for us in the absence of a mother. So I want to say happy Mother's Day to all mothers. Not just the ones that gave birth to children, the ones that was there in the struggle and the hard times and had to be the disciplinary person, had to be the mother that supported them with love and hugs and kisses and lavished them with gifts and raised when mother was away or mother was working to support. So we have many mothers, and we have spiritual mothers in the faith, mothers who pray and intercede for you, who give you kind words and instructions in love. We are blessed with many mothers in our lives. Sometimes you don't look at them that way. There was a time at my work, I was called mama to the younger girls, and I wasn't much older than most of them, but I was a work mama. So you can be a mother in so many ways, as you can be a father. But I wanted to thank and honor each and every one of you today. Thank you so much for all that you do. Father, we give you praise, glory, and honor, and we open today's services thanking you for the blessings in our lives, the people that you put in our lives along the way. Just thank you, Lord. Thank you. Have your way today, Holy Spirit. Come. Come into this place. Have your way. Break bonds. Tear down the strongholds. Break the chains. Let the Holy Word go forth. Bless those that are bringing forth the Word in song and whatever way they're bringing it, Father. Let it be to glory and edify just you, Lord. Let it go forth in the truth that it is, and it set us free today. Set us free. For the world so needs you. Help us to be the lights, to be the soldiers in the dark time. The city that is set on the hill that draws all men to you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I hide myself behind your word, your cross, Father, the blood of Jesus Christ. Apply it to this mind, these words, these thoughts, Lord. Let it all be you and none of me. The hearts that hear it, Father, open their hearts. Let this word take root and grow. And according to your word, it will not come back to you void. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today, I want to talk to you about a subject that God had put on my heart last Sunday. And it's called intercession. And a lot of times we look at intercession as some spiritual gift that we have. And in fact, it is not a gift for just the select. It is what we have as children of God. And I want to explain some more about that. Now, I have been listening and studying up on this, and I've been listening to a podcast by Dutch Sheets, and he talked about intercession. He started on Tuesday, and I thought that was pretty God-sent because that's what God had on my heart since at least Sunday. And I want to teach you what I have been taught. And that's the great thing about the Word of God. It's like iron sharpening iron. And when we get together, we should be bettering each other. Not to cut each other up and slice us and put us down. It's to better you and raise you up. That's the difference between the Word of God and the enemy. It's easy to tell. But the Hebrew word for intercession is pagah. P-A-G-A. And when you look up the meaning to it, it just doesn't have one meaning. It has several, and I want to read some of these to you. And so that you can understand that intercession is just not praying for someone. It has multiple meanings. Some of the words, the word means to meet, to light upon, to join, to meet of kindness, to encounter, to fall upon hostile, you know, hostily is violent, to encounter, entreat of request, to strike or touch of boundaries. It has multiple meanings. Like most Hebrew words, it just doesn't have one meaning. It covers a lot of different things, and I'll explain some of that to you. But when you hear the word, you get to understand there's different pictures to intercession. It accomplishes various things. It covers people, places, and things. I mean, he gave the definitions. There are two or more people, places, or thing coming together, which is an encounter or a meeting. It's a visit, a request. And it also can be an attack. Intercession can be an attack. Usually we're praying for someone against the enemy. When two or three agree together upon one thing, it shall be done, or I shall be there, you know. But he talked about meeting. It's a meeting when you meet with God, when you create meetings with God for others, meetings or attacks against the enemies that build protective boundaries to touch boundaries. And that's why the old timers would call it standing in the gap. Because you were touching two things and trying to bring them together and making an avenue for that to be. The first thing that he talked about was Jacob, Genesis 28, when he met with God at Bethel. And I'm going to read that. Genesis 28, verse 10, it says, "Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he laid down in that place to sleep." I don't know about you, but I usually meet God at my worst times. And Jacob was no different. He was running from his brother. He's been deceitful. And I mean, you know, I'm telling you, when God says he'll meet you there, he will meet you there. He will. And let's see. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it, and he said, "I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lay, I will give to you and your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you." Does it sound familiar? Genesis 12, covenant with Abraham, his grandfather. Does it sound familiar? It was actually in the same place, according to the research. And what's so crazy is Jacob knew nothing about that place. But this was the place where Abraham met with God, and the covenant, this almost the same words were spoke about blessings to you, and this land will be yours, and you will be blessed, and your descendants will be like the grains of sand, and all the families of the earth will be blessed through you. It was over 100 years later, Jacob's wandering through this land, and he has this encounter with God, this pagah. He met God. It's so amazing to think what God said over 100 years ago to Abraham, his descendant. He's still keeping and being faithful and true to the promise that he gave to that man, although he's gone. But his descendants are coming under that promise. That's the same thing we have for our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. It's awesome to think that. Awesome to think that. It says, "Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, 'Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it.' And he was afraid and said, 'How awesome is this place? There is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven.' Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put on at his head and set it up as a pillar and he poured oil on top of it. They surmised that may have been one of the stones, possibly could have been one of the stones where the altar, Abraham had made the altar, memorial. They did that back then. They set up a memorial. And he said, and he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city had been Luz previously. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going and give me bread to eat and clothes to put on so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be with me. And this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you also. Do you hear the tenth? Come on. Come on. All right, there's another good example. That's what his father, grandfather did, Abraham did, when he met the priest, gave a tenth. So, but I want you to hear this meeting with God. Holy Spirit was obviously at work in this place because it had been almost over 100 years between him and Abraham. And he brought him back to this same place. And possibly even the same stones. We're not for sure, but they suspect could have been the same stones that Abraham had put for memorial. But do you see God working in all of this? This meeting with God, he's forever pursuing us. Forever pursuing us. Generations later. And they were telling the story about Mr. Dobson. You all know Mr. Dobson, who did the family study, you know, it's very well known. I forget his first name. What is it? James? Is it James or Charles? It's one of those. But his grandfather was a praying man, and he would not only pray for his family, but he started praying for his generational family. And one of the grandsons went into ministry, and he went on to whatever his name, Mr. Dobson, went on to college and went into this field. But then he had this great ministry with the family. I used to listen to some of it. It was, you know, it's always good Bible-based family, information. But it was amazing how he said, I prayed for both of them. And at first it didn't seem like it had worked for both. But the other one had a great ministry, just like the first one had gone into ministry. But it was how interceding for your family makes a difference. Plan, pray for them to meet God, to meet with God. That's one of our meetings, to encounter, to reach, to touch, to land upon, to come between. We're standing in the gap. And as you see the ladder, you know, it talked about the ladder and they're ascending and descending. The angels are. Do you remember I talked about prayer a couple Wednesdays ago, Matthew 6 and 10. It says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Your prayers opens the avenues for those things to happen. He has a plan, but you praying opens the doors, not only in your own life and the life of the people that you're praying for, but into this world. He said he physically saw the angels coming and going. And who was at the top? The Lord speaking to him. It's pretty awesome when you think about interceding, how the heavens and the earth are connected, how we are privileged as people of God to be part of what his movement here on this earth is. Not only are you part of the army that goes forth and does, but you have responsibility to pray and intercede, not only just for what you see in your own life and in the lives of others, but for the world. Israel was under attack not too long ago, and Pastor Jensen Franklin put on his Instagram that they were being bombed. And it was the area that his church and many people had donated to build a children's facility for the kids. And he showed pictures of the bombs after the fact, laying out. The attack came in the night, laying out in front of the building, just laying out there. And the women evacuating, grabbing the children and moving, you know, trying to get out of the building because it was a target now, you know, because it was a facility, a large, pretty large facility. But we have the chance to pray when we know those needs are there. It's amazing how intercession is so important as a Christian. We partner with God to help others. What a privilege it is. I imagine when we go to heaven, there'll be so many people that will talk to us and say, I remember you said this word, or God showed me you made this prayer for me, and I appreciate it. Sometimes God will just put people on your heart, and you don't know the situation, but you can ask Holy Spirit, lead me, guide me in what needs to be said. That's what he's there for, and I'm going to talk about that. But it's amazing what part you have to play as a Christian in the whole scheme of things, not just your own life. Humans participating with God. God was present. I love that. He tells him, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to be with you in this journey, but you're going to come back here one day. And this is your future. Sands. People like sands. Blessings in your family, but not only yours, but for all of the earth's families. So another thing that happened, you know, we saw and we talked about it releases angelic activity, which I talked about. Your intercessions can be what saves the lives, literally, of others. There are many examples in the Bible, but my own is a great story because I lived it. And you all know, at 16 years old, I was supposed to die in a car accident. My father was in Harlan County up on a strip in mine, up on a piece of equipment, and God showed him what was going to happen. He told him. Not only did he show it to him, but he told him. He said, she's going to die. He's come for her today. And he did the only thing he could do was drop down in that machine on his knees and start praying and interceding for his daughter. And here I stand before you today. Did I have the accident? Yes. But did I die? I walked away unharmed. Car was completely totaled. And I went over after I hit, after three spins, I passed out. I hit the mountain, you know, because we just cut out mountains and make roads in the country. And I went over the embankment, and the river was down there. But a stump, I swear, it wasn't that big, caught underneath my car and kept it from going any further. It went down so many feet off the road. Police officer come around the corner about the time he saw my car go down. He is. He's faithful. He is faithful. He's faithful. Don't think praying for your children makes a difference. Don't let the enemy tell you it's no good, because he's a liar. I'm living proof. Jacob built a pillar, an altar on that land as a memorial stone. It was a testimony, not only for himself, but anybody at that time who knew what those stones represented. And God showed me, and this is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, is Revelations 12 and 11. And it says, and they overcome him, meaning the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their life unto the death. Your testimony means a whole lot. There's many times the enemy keeps you from talking to others about God and your testimony sharing. Now, do be led by God on that, because not everybody needs to hear your business. Sometimes you have to be very careful about that. But, you know, to God be the glory in all things. But when you go to pray, talk about your memorials. Remember those things. Be thankful for it. And remember that someone's prayer saved your life. And sometimes I think there's so many other things that I don't even know, and we don't even know, that when we get to heaven, we'll know all these things. And, you know, we all had praying mamas, and some of us had praying daddies. Gosh, they were some of the best interceders. We just lost an old saint of mine from my dad's church, 92 years old, and she was a praying woman. And God walked in that woman. I mean, you could look at her and see God all over her. You don't take praying lightly. It's very important. It is strength. It is wisdom. It is power. Intercession. How are we able to be interceders? We are simply to listen to the Holy Spirit, be guided by Him. Make it part of your prayer time to pray for others. We should always be praying. I mean, the Bible talks, Paul would always say, you know, pray for me. Paul was this great, powerful man, writing most of the New Testament as we know now, but he asked the Colossians to pray for him. Pray for him. Even, I love it, even today in Israel, the word pagah means bullseye. When they're training, and all children go through training in Israel, it's part of their upbringing. They're taught to handle weapons at very, very early ages. But they would say, hit the pagah, the bullseye. So when you intercede, you can look at yourself as a person who is loading the weapon that's going to be fired and hit the enemy target. That's how important praying and interceding is. You're just a weapon, a threshing weapon. With the word of God, you're sending forth your words, which should be always in agreement with God's words. And that's how we defeat the enemy. We are led by the Holy Spirit. We are like loading our weapons and taking aim and hitting the target. Romans 8 and 26 in the Message Bible, it says, if we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He, meaning the Holy Spirit, does our praying in and for us. That's why the Holy Spirit is so important in your life. He's the Spirit of truth. He will always lead you into truth. John 16:3, we just need to allow Him to guide us. John 16:13 talks about Him being the guide. He's your guide. It says, the Spirit of truth is come, and He will guide you into all truth. Part of the problem is we don't listen. That's why I tell you, when you pray, you can talk. But when you have conversation, you do have to listen. Spend time quietly listening to the Lord, listening to what you're being told. Be guided by the Holy Spirit. You may be praying, and I pop up in your mind. Say a prayer. God is showing you something. I need that time. I need someone right now at this moment to say that prayer for me. You just never know. You never know what someone's going through. You never know what their day is bringing them. We have the promise of wisdom, James 1 and through 1 and 5. And it's so awesome because we look at ourselves and we think, oh, you know, Pastor so-and-so or Minister so-and-so or Deacon so-and-so, you know, they're just so awesome. Well, let me just tell you, you are too. You're awesome as a child of God. Your battle may not be like mine, but it's definitely no less powerful. Or your job, and it says in here that James 5 and 16, it says, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's a promise. James 1 and 5 says, if you lack wisdom, ask God. He giveth to all men liberally and unbraideth not. He's no respecter of person. If you need wisdom and understanding, He's going to give it to you. Ask Him. Remember that for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11 and 6. All you have to do is ask and believe. Ask in faith. If God is leading you into a type of prayer, intercession prayer or something for someone, He's going to make it happen. Just be obedient. It's your time to shine. It's your time to do what you were called to do as a child of God. And I love it. There is intercession. Some of the ones that I remember the most, Daniel 9. Daniel is interceding for his people. Daniel is a captive, a slave in a land. He was taken from his home. He was renamed. And if any of you all saw my post, The enemy loves to keep you in captivity and bondage by calling you by names. Depression. Suicidal. Addicted. What are some of the names that you've heard the enemy call you, and that sometimes we even take them and become them? But that's what he wants. But my God says, child of God, daughter of God, son of God, you are loved, you are blessed, you are protected, you are prosperous, you are wise, you are peaceful, you are joyful. Speak those words into your mouth. That's what Daniel did. That's how he was able to endure all of this. Daniel had so many visions about the things that were going to happen to the people, Israelite people, and he was actually interceding in Daniel 9 to help, you know, God, can this be avoided? And God sent an angel to him. Don't be startled if an holy one comes to you during your time of prayer. Another one that's real famous that we think about is Abraham in Genesis bargaining with God about Solomon and Gomorrah. God started at 50. It went to 10. Abraham says, well, what if, Lord, you find 20 righteous? And he's walking with him the whole time, walking towards Solomon and Gomorrah, knowing what's going to happen. Well, what if, Lord, if you feed 15? And they got him down to 10. He went from 50 to 10 for Abraham. Don't think intercession is not important. It is. It is a right as a child of God, and it is a privilege as a child of God. Jesus in John 17 is a whole chapter about praying. His prayers. The first five verses, he prays for himself. Pray for yourself. That's good. Intercede for yourself. That's awesome. The next few chapters, 6 through 19, he prays for his disciples. In the last chapter, verses 20 through 26, he prays for all believers. And of course, we know Romans tells us that he's seated at the right hand interceding for us. That's where he's at. He's waiting. But while he's waiting for that time, he is interceding for you every minute, every second of the day. 1 Timothy 2 and 1 says that we are to pray and intercede and supplication and thanksgiving. Make that for all people. It's a command to pray. Of course, we know in Ephesians 6 and 18, when it talks about the garment of the putting on the armor of God, it talks about praying for one another. Pray continually. Pray for one another. And who can forget Peter in jail in Acts 12? Peter is in jail. He's in bondage, but what's the church doing? They're praying. It wasn't just one sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so. It was the church was praying, making a meeting place, asking God to meet with him. And what happened? God sent an angel. He said, get up, let's go. And he took him out. Not only did the chains fall off, he told him to get his shoes up. Chains fall off, but when they got out to a certain part of the area, the gate opened, and he went through. And then he realized the angel was gone. And so he went to the church, or the house where they were praying. Intercession, it's important. It's a privilege that you have. But I want you to remember the names of it, the meanings. It's amazing because it's not just saying a prayer. It's arranging meetings. God, come into this life. Move in this situation. Enemy, I bind and rebuke you. That's intercession. It's hitting your mark. It's the violence. It's the standing in the gap, as we old timers used to say, the come between, touching borders, making things happen, making it land upon, making it reach, and making it the encounter or the meeting to happen. Intercession is important in a Christian life, but it's not just for one or two people. It's for everyone. It is your privilege and your right to do. So when the Holy Spirit brings it to you, don't think that you have to be some great person. No, baby, you are qualified with the blood of Jesus Christ. Let me just tell you that now. I don't care if you fell yesterday. I don't care. The blood of Jesus. As long as it's under the blood, You're qualified. Father, we give you praise, glory, and honor. We thank you for the next assignment that you have given us, intercession, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the education that you have given this woman, Lord. And I pray that I have given it over to the rest of the church, Father, that they can understand, Lord, and that they will participate even more now that they know they have that right and privilege as a child of God. It is not set aside for just the few. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that leads, guides, and directs us, and gives us the wisdom and understanding from you, Father, that we need, because your word is truth, and where the Son is, we have been set free. Help us, Lord Jesus, to see the chains of others and the bondage of others, that we may pray and that your work would be done. God bless the remainder of the service. Bless our children, those that are coming, Father Jesus. Keep your hand upon those that can't even be here, Father, and bring them back to us. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray.